you, Melissa. Take your Bibles now, please. And tonight we're going to finish up the last in the series of messages, Living in a World That Is Very Imperfect. And that's the kind of world we live in. And because of that, we have problems. We have things that we'd just soon not have, but they come our way. And we need to know how to deal with those biblically. We need to know what God says about dealing with them. Let's go to Job chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with verse 8. If you'll find your place there, beginning with verse 8, reading through verse 11. To most of you, the Sunday night crowd, this would be a very familiar passage, but it's good to be reminded of what is being done here and what's being said. And in keeping with the message title tonight, Facing False Accusations. How do you face false accusations? Job chapter 1, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for nothing, for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Here we have a case of Job being an example to Satan of somebody that God wanted to brag on and show that the devil couldn't always have his way with. And Job is an example of somebody who goes through trials and troubles and difficulties, and yet he comes out on the winning side. But in this story, we see the one who is attacking him and accusing him falsely. And so Satan, the book of Revelation tells us, is the accuser of the brethren. Make no bones about it, the devil's out there and he's accusing you, and he'll do everything he can to try to bring a reproach upon the name of the Lord with your life and through your life if he can. And so the devil attacks Job because God allows him to do it. The devil has a conversation with God and says, the only reason Job is serving you is because you're blessing him. And I know his motive. He was falsely accusing Job. He was telling a lie about Job. And even when it was proven that Satan was wrong, he didn't admit his mistake, did he? You know, those that bear false witness never like to admit their mistake. When they get through with it, they don't care about what kind of damage has been done. Have you ever been accused falsely? Anybody here tonight ever been accused falsely? I would imagine most. I know that I have been, and I know it's a very unpleasant experience. And I'm sure it has been for you. And maybe you're going through that right now. William Carey, who is considered the father of years ago, he raised some money and he had a lot of resistance. He was going to India, had a lot of opposition. During that time, his wife lost her mind. And she made a lot of accusations against William Carey and accused him of some things that he was not guilty of. As a result of that, William Carey said, Come on in and check me out, investigate it, and you'll find out that it's not true. And they examined and found out there was nothing to it. What a terrible thing for a great man of God like that to go through. And his own wife, because of some mental incapacitation, decided to accuse him of some things that he was not guilty of. Innocent people have nothing to hide, do they? If you're not guilty, you don't have anything to hide. And yet, Satan many times will attack. And false accusations hurt. And false accusations can cause and stir some emotions in our heart that are not necessarily good emotions. We feel betrayed. That's a terrible feeling, to feel so betrayed by somebody. We'll feel angry. Sometimes we get worried about things. Many times we're deeply hurt because we have been falsely accused. And how we react is very important. And how should we react? And what should we think about? We should think about the origin of it, where it came from, and the damage that it's going to cause. And we should look both at receiving the accusation and also responding to the accusation. Now let's think first of all about the derivation of the false accusation. What motivates, where do they derive this idea of having a false accusation? What motivates some people to do this? Well, the plain truth about it sometimes is slander. Just the word slander. There are people that deliberately smear the reputation of other people. They get something in their craw and they decide to do that. In Proverbs, Solomon reminded us of, in chapter 16, verse 28, a whisperer, that is a false accuser, we could say it like that, a whisperer separateth chief friends. There are some people that absolutely just want to do that, and they want to cause trouble, and they want to get even with somebody, and so they will slander that person in order to get even with them. Sometimes it's sincerity, not just slander, but sincerity. There are people that hear some things or think they see some things, and they go to somebody and accuse that person. The best thing to do is check it out. I can remember such an occasion when I was a youth director. I was working for Brother Gene Arnold in Roanoke, Virginia. We lived in a little duplex apartment, and we were cleaning that apartment. I can't remember. I believe it was on a Saturday. I don't know. But I was home for a little bit, and Phil was just a little fellow, about 2 years of age, about like Jacob is now. And Carolyn needed some furniture polish or something, and there was a little corner store down there. And so there was a teenage girl helping her out. And she was helping clean and so on and so forth. So we jumped in the car. The teenage girl went with me, and Phil went with us. He was in between us. We went down to that store, and somebody saw me with that teenage girl. And they called Brother Gene Arnold up. And Brother Gene Arnold called me in the office. And Brother Gene Arnold said, "You've been accused of being out with one of the teenage girls. What say ye?" You know, "What do you say?" I said, "It's not true." And Carolyn, of course, he had invited her to come in, and she knew about it and knew that we'd gone down to the store simply to buy something and bring it right back to the house, and that was that. And so whenever we got through with that and told him that, then I guess the person was sincere. I never heard any more about it. The truth was told, and that was that, and we never heard any more. Sometimes people are sincere in their concern about what they see, and they have to deal with it. But you know what? If their motive is right, when the answer comes and they know the answer is right, they drop it right then. They don't continue to press it. They don't continue with it. And then, of course, there is not only that, but there's Satan, our arch enemy. And he was Job's enemy. And it doesn't matter to Satan if there's a reason or not a reason to accuse you. He will look for a reason. He'll make up a reason. But you see, God knew about Job. And God knew Job's heart. And God also knew what Job was going to do. That's part of God's foreknowledge. God knew all of that. And God knew that Job was not going to do what he was accused of doing. Or God knew that he was not guilty of a wrong motivation, because God knew his heart. But the devil wasn't satisfied with that. And then, on top of all of that, Satan brings in Job's good friends. Don't you like friends like Job's friends? Eliphaz and Bildad and those other guys. And so they come in like real good buddies and real good Christians and say, because the devil put them up to it, if you had just corrected sin in your life, you wouldn't have had all these problems. You wouldn't be having car wrecks, and you wouldn't be in the hospital, and you wouldn't be sick, and you wouldn't be going through all of the financial reversals. If you'll just confess your sin, well, we need good Christian friends like that, don't we? The devil sees to it many times that those people that we thought were our friends actually become people that join in the effort. And they help spread the rumor. They don't investigate it. They don't check it out. They just hear it and they begin to spread that rumor to other people. And as a result, they help the devil out. I wouldn't want to be accused, although I probably have done it before, help the devil out. I wouldn't want to be accused of helping my arch enemy out, would you? We don't need to be helping the devil out. Somebody says, well, I heard. So did you investigate? Did you check it out? Well, no, but you know, somebody said or somebody told me that. That is not evidence of a wrongdoing. And we need to watch out and check it out and not cooperate with the devil. Now, here's the problem. There's always damage with false accusation. Always, it seems, damage comes with false accusation. Certainly, the potential is always there. And what kind of damage can be done? One, it can discourage people. I want to tell you, when you're falsely accused, it can really hurt you as far as your motivation and what you're trying to do. You try to, many times as a pastor, and any pastor would know this, you help people out, you do a lot for them, you help them financially, you help them with their family, you might get their daughters and sons off of drugs and get them saved, get them in church and baptize them, only later on to have them tell a lie on you. Well, I want to tell you, that's really discouraging. And Job's friends added to Job's despair. He had enough problems already. He had lost everything. All of the things that he had lost, all of his family and his cattle, all of that, he had lost all of that. And on top of that now, here is the discouragement that comes from false accusation. We don't need that kind of discouragement. It was the last thing that Job needed. So there was discouragement. And then when you're falsely accused, there is derailment. What happened? Job got off track for a little while, didn't he? What he began to do was focus on his friends and what they were saying, and he began to try to defend himself about all of those things. And as a result of that, he got off track for a little while. Now, Job did not curse God and die like it was suggested. But even though he did not do that, he did spend a lot of time defending his position. A lot of time defending and trying to convince his critics that what they were saying was not true. And during that period of time, he ran into some problems, and I think the main job was not getting done. Now, the main job is always this: give God the glory for whatever you're going through. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. You know your heart's right with God. Just keep on walking. Stay on track. Keep on going. And do everything you can to bring glory and honor to God. Whether it's good times or whether it's bad times, always go on and stay on track. Sometimes it's not only the discouragement or the derailment, but it can be destruction as a result of false accusation. Jezebel and Ahab, you remember, poor little Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. He cried and whined to his wife, and she said, well, you don't have any courage. You can't do anything about it. I'll do something about it. And she went to the leadership of the city where Naboth was, where his vineyard was, and she said, I want you to get some guys to tell a lie on Naboth, and I want you to hire them to do that. And that's exactly what they did. And the result was this. If you remember, Naboth was stoned to death. Naboth was killed. You say, well, they were wrong. Yeah, they were wrong. Did they pay for it? Yes, they paid for it. But don't forget, even though that's true, Naboth was still dead. The destruction had come. And so many times, because of false accusation, there's some destruction. I've known, not many, thank God, but a few, over the years, pastors whose ministries have been absolutely ruined for a long period of time because somebody told a lie on them, only to find out later on they confessed that they had lied. only to do damage to a church, to do damage to that pastor, to do damage to his family, almost irreparable damage sometimes. That's the sad thing about not getting your facts first and spreading things that are not necessarily true and finding out what it might be. So there's the derivation of it, the purpose, all of that motivation, and then the destruction, and then dealing with false accusation. How should we deal with it? How should we deal with it? Well, there would be receiving unsubstantiated accusations. That's going to come, and sometimes it happens. But whenever that is the case, you and I know that we did not see it, perhaps. We have nothing to back it up. We have no proof of what took place. And here's what we need to do, is we don't need to assume anything. Most Baptists get their calisthenics by jumping to conclusions. They do more of that than anything else. We don't need to do that. We don't need to assume certain things. Receiving unsubstantiated accusations. We don't need to do that. We need to be careful about what we hear and what we listen to. And then I think we need to ask ourselves when those things come, is it significant? You know, a lot of times Jesus just ignored the Pharisees when they would accuse his disciples. They'd say, well, you know, they didn't wash their hands before they ate that corn. And Jesus didn't spend any time with them. Many times he just ignored what was said and all these accusations because it didn't amount to a hill of beans. It wasn't worth his facing it and dealing with it and saying something about it. And I, you know, that would be like you saying to somebody, well, you know, Brother Weaver weighs 220 pounds. And I say, no, you know, the truth is I only weigh 215 pounds. And bring that rascal in, and I'm going to call him on the carpet and say, you say I weigh 220 pounds, I only weigh 215 pounds, which, by the way, would be way too much anyway, wouldn't it? But there's no need to fool around with silly stuff. But sometimes there's important things. Some issues are important. Doctrinal issues are important. Great biblical issues are important, and many times they have to be dealt with. But then we need to search out truth. Search out the truth. That's part of the response we ought to have to it. Search out the truth. Proverbs 25:2, honor, the honor of kings is to do what? Search out a matter. If it's honorable for a king to search out a matter, it's honorable for you and I to search it out. Don't jump to conclusions. Check it out. Some leaders do not listen to accusations. You say, well, that's good. No, I don't think that's wise. I think that leaders have to listen when somebody accuses somebody. And I know over the years, I've found out that some of it is false, but I've also found out that some of it's true. And I think when somebody comes to me with an accusation, I have to check it out. I have a responsibility to God and to the church in order to check it out. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to talk to the people involved, not talk about the people involved. I'm going to talk to the people involved, and then I'm going to bring in those who might be considered witnesses, and then try to figure it out. And usually you can work things out that way. We need to substantiate things, and then if we substantiate those things, then is the time to take action, not before. Now, what if you have two people and one says one thing and another says the other thing? Then what do? You don't have any witnesses involved. The best thing I think to do in a case like that is take no action whatsoever. If that were the case, we'd all be at risk all the time. My word, your word. So we have to be very, very careful about those accusations. And then last of all, responding to untrue accusations. This is something we deal with in our church. This is something that hinders and hurts the Spirit of God and the spirit of revival in our church. It's false accusations. That's why it's important. But responding to untrue accusations. First of all, if it's true, then you need to repent. And there needs to be some reparations taken care of. If the accusations are true, I've actually had to say to someone when I felt so deeply about the fact that I thought that what had been brought to me by a couple of three witnesses was true, that I said, okay, you're saying it's not true, let's take a lie detector test. I want to tell you, that sobers a lot of them up. I've seen them hit their knees and say, and weep and cry and say, it's true, it's true. And then we can go somewhere with it. Then we can help them out. Then they can get reestablished. And then we can do something to get them back in the fellowship of the church like they should be. But if it's true, you need to repent and find restitution. But if it's not true, then we need to follow the biblical pattern. It's always the right thing to do. What is that? First of all, ignore. That's a good word. Jesus did. And the basis was, as I mentioned earlier, how serious is it or how incidental is it? And who said it sometimes has a whole lot to do with it. There are a lot of times we know if certain people say it, we might as well just forget it. Because they just sort of go around saying things like that all the time. It's sort of a habit. They get their kicks in life doing that. So sometimes we just need to ignore those things. And then we need to illuminate. What do you mean, preacher? Well, if it's a sincere person, and sometimes, as I said, they are sincere, we need to illuminate them. We need to answer them and go to them and realize that they might have been sincere about it, just like the people probably were sincere about the teenage girl they thought I was with, and they probably felt like they had an obligation. But we need to go to them, deal with it, shed light on it, tell them that it isn't true, prove that it isn't true, and go on from there. Another thing sometimes I think we need to do is indict a person. What do you mean? Look them straight in the eye and say, you know that you are telling a lie, and you contradict them, and you let them know that you know they're lying about the subject. That's a hard thing to do, but sometimes we have to do that. Ignore them, illuminate, give them the truth, prove it, indict them, look them straight in the eye and tell them you're not telling the truth, and you know you're not, and you have the proof to back it up. And then sometimes, unfortunately, we have to isolate them. You see, it's biblical sometimes if a person keeps practicing that in a local church, you just have to isolate them. Right. You say, well, I don't know that that's in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 5:11. I've written to you not to keep company if any of you is called a brother. He says, with somebody that is a traitor or a fornicator, and he names some other things there. Now, what does the word traitor there mean? The word traitor could easily be translated and has been translated to say false accusation. And what he's saying is, break company with false accusers. If that is their pattern and they continue to do it, bring them in on the carpet and say, look, we don't need that around here. The best thing for you to do is find you another church and go falsely accuse somebody else. Because that's a biblical pattern. You say, that's harsh. It's biblical. That's what God says do. And break fellowship with them. Because they're like a cancer in a church. They'll drag it down. They'll pull it down. They'll hurt the cause of Christ. They'll hurt the unity of the local New Testament church when they falsely accuse people. So here's what we need to do. We need to look at the Word of God and look at this story of Job and anything similar to it and recognize what God has told us to do and how to handle it, and handle it properly, and handle it biblically, and don't let it get you off track, and don't let it get you down. And my friend, if you practice that kind of lifestyle in a local church, what you need to do is get on your knees before God. Repent. You don't drink, and you don't cuss, and you don't chew, and you don't run around with people that do. All you do is falsely accuse the brethren. You need to get your heart right with God. You need to get your heart right with God. These are important things and instruction to the believers. Be careful about the problem of false accusation and know how to deal with it. And friend, if you experience it and you get hurt and you go through all those emotions, don't let it get you down. Whether it's at church, at work, or your family, whatever it is, Just keep on going and keep your eyes on God and give Him the glory. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for just a moment. Our Father, as we come to You in prayer at the end of this service, I pray that we would search our hearts tonight. And if we've been falsely accused of anything, help us, O God, to, if we've allowed it to get us off track, help us to get back on track tonight. And not let it disturb us, not let it get us down or take us off of the main thing, to serve You and bring honor to You. We thank You for the story of Job. We know that he had a false accuser. We know that even his so-called friends falsely accused him. And we know that for a little while, it got him off track, but he got straightened out. And he gave You the glory and praise and humbled himself before You. May we learn from the lesson of Job. And Lord, help us to not be false accusers. Help us not to spread rumors, things that we haven't checked out, and things that may or may not be true. Help us to do what the Bible says and to do it Your way, so that the body, the local body, the church, will be healthy and strong. God, help us to bring glory to You. Help us to guard our tongue, to be careful how we use it. You said that everything just about in this world can be controlled except the tongue. And I pray, dear God, we would be very, very careful how we use our tongues. Help us to look into the mirror of Your word and learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen.